evening, everybody, and welcome to the Village Celebration Radio Show. I'm Vicki Newton. So glad you are with us this Thursday evening. We have a wonderful show ahead, so make sure you stay close by your computer, your phone, because you don't want to miss what we have for you tonight. We actually have an in-studio guest who is special. We'll say. Very funny. We have a comedian joining us. Big Dre is actually in the studio with us. We're also going to take a look at some very serious subjects. If you are a parent, we'll talk about tips for getting your student off to a strong start this school year, because, of course, most students are back in the classroom, and if they're not in school yet, well, after the Labor Day weekend, most likely they will be if they're going this year. We're also going to take a look at a study that says sitting is the new smoking. So now maybe your sofa will come with the warning from the Surgeon General, you know, don't sit too long. But we'll talk with Dr. Dye about that study and some ways you can become more active. And we are talking politics tonight. I know the election is not until 2016, the presidential election, but already there is a lot of interest in this campaign. So we're looking at Ben Carson and Hillary Clinton, and Village Celebration contributor Mondale Robinson is joining us. He's stepping away from a couple of campaigns in the New York area to speak with us tonight. But first, let's talk education. Joining us tonight is Earl Martin Phelan, who is a well-known education expert and also the founder of a group of charter schools in Indiana known as the George and Veronica Phelan Leadership Academies. And Mr. Phelan, Earl, thank you for joining us tonight.
You're welcome. It's great to be here, Vicki.
So what do you and your staff stress at the very beginning of the year? What do you say to your students and their parents in particular?
Well, I think with our parents, it's really about expectations. We are partners in the education of your children, and so if we ever call, it's because we need you to be a partner, not an adversary. I think with parents, it's emphasizing the importance of sleep for young children. American Pediatric Association recommends 10 to 12 hours of sleep for growing children. And many of our children are getting 6 hours of sleep, 5 hours of sleep, or interrupted sleep because the television is on in their room. So it's really about parents, what can you do to set your children up for success? Make sure they're getting the recommended amount of sleep. Make sure that you ask to see what they worked on. Make sure that you underscore the message that their education is one of the most important things to you. So they may not get it. They may not understand it as a kindergartner. They may not understand it as a third grader or a sixth grader or a 12th grader. But you, I'm emphasizing, this is the most important thing that you can do for me, is to focus on your education and be a great student. So that's our message, really, to our parents.
Parental involvement is obviously key and imperative. But 10 to 12 hours of sleep that's recommended for growing children. Can you explain a little more? Excuse me. Okay, we were having a little bit of a technical difficulty. Earl, tell us more about this.
Yes.
12 hours of sleep that each child needs, because when we were children, most of us remember going to bed at a pretty early hour, not necessarily liking it, but it was enforced. Have things changed that dramatically?
Yeah, things have changed in many ways. One is, I don't think parents understand the importance of nutrition, exercise, and sleep to a child's mental, physical, and emotional health. I was talking with one of the country's leading pediatricians, and he said that sleep deprivation, which means most elementary school children on average should be getting 10 hours of uninterrupted sleep. No television on, no loud noises coming from the other room, et cetera, uninterrupted sleep. And I said, well, what does that look like if you go to school with 6 hours of sleep and you're supposed to have 10? He says it looks exactly like ADHD.
Mm.
The inability to sit still, the inability to focus, the inability to have concentrated learning time, irritability, it's because they're tired. And I think that we're missing the boat because, one, a lot of parents are being much more lenient on when children go to sleep. Two is, a lot of parents don't know how much sleep that a growing brain and body needs. And three, I think that a lot of technology, particularly televisions, are in children's bedrooms. Mm-hmm. And so they are watching shows, A, that are inappropriate, and B, that are keeping them up because they're going to stay up till 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, or 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Well, if you do that and you need to be at school at 7:30 or 8 in the morning, you're setting your child up for failure.
Mm-hmm. So before they can ever learn to read and all of the other skills they need in school, they must first have a brain that is prepared to learn and ready
to
learn.
That's exactly right. And I think they all go together. I think that sleep goes with exercise, goes with nutrition, right? All of those are the foundation to, if you take care of those, you set your child up for really great success. And I know our community sometimes getting access to fresh fruits, vegetables, healthy food, it's tough. But if your child shows up on the first day of school with a orange crush soda and a bag of Doritos, I can tell you that's not setting your child up for success.
That seems very basic, but of course it is not that basic anymore. So once the child is prepared to learn, where do we go from there? What do parents need to do after that in terms of just clearing out the cobwebs from summer vacation?
I think the best way to do it is to engage in conversation. There was a study in USA Today that said that most parents, beyond the directive, i.e. directive being go to bed, pick up your, clean up your dishes, stop hitting your brother. Beyond directives, that parents on average have 5 to 8 minutes of conversation with their children. And so conversation is the foundation to brain development. Conversation is the way that you connect emotionally with your child. Conversation is the way that children learn to develop language if you require them to speak in sentences. Conversation is the way to get children's critical thinking skills if you ask them a question that is not a yes or no, but really engages. And so they call it serve and return, which is You say something to me, I say something back, you say something, I say something, you say something. So if parents can engage in that, how was your day-to-day? Good. Well, what was good about it?
Okay.
Lunch. Or nothing. Mm-hmm. Well, tell me one thing you learned today. I learned about single-digit addition with carryover. Okay, tell me about that, right? So that's the serve and return. And so parents got to kind of fight through that general resistance that most children, they're not going to tell you that much. They're going to give short answers and really just engage your children in conversation. And again, emphasize, did you know how important it is and how proud I am that you're taking your schooling seriously? This is going to change your life if you really focus on that. And again, that cuts across every economic and every kind of racial demographic. You do that, then your child will say, it's important to mom, it's important to dad, and it's serious, so I should take it a little bit more seriously.
Do you think that is even all the more important in our community?
It's critically important, because I think a lot of parents, if they get a call from school, my child didn't do that. That doesn't sound like my child, right? And the child's right in the room when this conversation's happening. Well, that's teaching a child to disrespect for authority. Mm-hmm. I think the second thing is whether you've had education and it's been successful, or whether you've had education and it hasn't been successful for you, you still as a parent owe your child the opportunity to use education as a stepping stone for their futures. We talk about the importance of engaging children in discussion. A lot in our community are, be seen, not heard. Mm-hmm. You sit over there, adults are talking, right? That's not a way to stimulate vocabulary. That's not a way to stimulate critical thinking. That's not a way to build self-esteem. In fact, it's the opposite of all of those. And so we've got to kind of modulate. We've got to kind of look at that approach and take a different approach with our children. And I think the other piece that's so important is just get your child 15 minutes every day if they're a younger child, or 30 minutes if they're an older child, to read to you. and read aloud. And it could be while you're doing the dishes. It could be while you're on the bus. It could be at many different times. And if children aren't comfortable reading, or if a parent isn't comfortable, then just look at a picture book and make up stories. Come up with a beat and have your child make up a song. Poetry, rap, discussion, all those things build language skills and they build a child's brain. And so we've got to continue on using whatever we feel comfortable with to get our children to talk, sing, communicate, and think.
And so finally, I just want to follow up on a point that you made, that in our community, it's often seen and thought that it is better for children to be quiet. And if you're not and you're a little too precocious, then you might be, and I'm using maybe a colloquialism, too grown. But it's a good thing when the brain is active and a kid is expressing, right? As long as it's an appropriate expression.
We need critical thinkers. That's exactly right. We need critical thinkers. It's okay to ask a child, what do you think about what Donald Trump said? What do you think about the notion that Hillary Clinton might be the first female president? What do you think about the ethics around deflating a football and potentially winning an important game? It's okay to say, what do you think about the commercial that you just saw? What did you see in that commercial? That's so important, because we've got to really have children in this day and age, especially when access to information is so broad through the internet, that you really have to be a good consumer and you have to be a critical thinker. Because otherwise you fall prey to, oh, I heard this, and kind of drive time talk, and therefore I think it's true. Or I listened to this in this song, and therefore this must be true about women. This must be true about African Americans. This must be true about X, Y, Z. We need critical thinkers, and you can't be a critical thinker unless you're challenged to think.
That is a fantastic way to leave it. Thank you so much, Earl Martin Phelan of the Phelan Academies, for joining us. We will be right back when we talk with Reverend Timothy Tyler, who is the senior pastor of Shorter AME Church in Denver, Colorado. He's talking about, do Black Lives Matter to the Black Church? So stay with us.
Glenn?
Well, you can tell that Chip over there is getting ready for the old family vacation.
Yeah.
He's pulling out the boat, airing the tents, checking gear, getting everything packed.
Yeah, we're about to head out on our vacation, too.
But you're sitting here drinking tea, surveying your domain from that lawn chair.
Yeah, buddy.
So, are you really about to leave on a vacation?
Yep, right here in Arkansas to enjoy our great state parks.
Why aren't you getting your gear together?
Because we rent it in the state parks. Instant vacation. No hassles before we go and none after we get back.
Rent?
Yep, the state parks have ski boats, party barges, fishing boats, kayaks, canoes. They even have RVs and tents already set up, plus the cabins and more.
RVs?
Just go to ArkansasStateParks.com. It's all there.
Instant vacation sounds like a perfect vacation.
Yeah, it will be if you mow my lawn while I'm gone.
Well, sure.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
No, I can't believe that.
Nice.
I hit it perfect.
You're just standing too close to the ball. After you hit it.
Hey, you had one in the rough, two in the trees.
We're keeping score?
Yeah.
Maybe a new course would lower your handicap. Arkansas State Parks has two golf courses.
Yeah?
We should play them.
Tell me more.
The Gray Lake Resort's golf course is perfect for us. 18 holes overlooking the lake, and the wives will enjoy DeGray's Island Lodge.
Sweet.
Yeah, then we'll play the ridges at Village Creek.
Village Creek State Park has a course?
Yeah, here it's outstanding. 27 holes, Andy Dye design,
wow.
PGA caliber championship layout, and dramatic elevation changes since it's on Crowley's Ridge.
Wow.
And the girls will enjoy the cabins.
How do we get on these courses?
Well, they're in our state parks, so they're public courses.
Yeah.
ArkansasStateParks.com has details and photos.
Let's finish this round and book a tee time.
Oh, yeah.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
welcome back to the Village Celebration on this Thursday. If you are just joining us, coming up later in the show, we are talking politics tonight. What do you think of Ben Carson? How about Hillary Clinton? We will hear from our contributor, Mundell Robinson. He's joining us later in the show. But right now, we have joining us from Denver, Colorado, Reverend Timothy Tyler, who is the senior pastor of Shorter AME Church. Thank you for joining us, Reverend Tyler. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
You are sponsoring a series of very important and very interesting conversations called Sacred Conversations, and you are doing these in partnership with a couple of churches in Atlanta. You're talking this Friday, tomorrow, about Black Lives and the Black Church. Wow.
Yeah.
How did that end up on the agenda?
Well, and thank you for having me. What we're doing is, as you might know, Vicki, I'm a candidate for bishop in the AME Church, and our international meeting is in July of 2016. And so we've got about 10, 11 months left before that event takes place. And I wanted to go all over the country, go to different cities, and just hear what people are saying about issues of the Black Church, because I don't want to. I want my election to be about dealing with issues that are important about the church, to help the church grow. And so one thing I know about the church is we do a lot of talking, but we don't have very many conversations. Mm. And so our first stop is in Fairburn, Georgia, on tomorrow at St. John AME Church, 305 West Campbellton Street. And we're going to be talking about, do Black Lives Matter to the Black Church?
You know, that question seems to have a very obvious answer. And I think most people at first glance would say, well, of course, Black Lives Matter to the church. Is that so?
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's obvious. I agree with you. At first glance, it seems to be obvious. But there seems to be, and we'll talk about this on tomorrow night at 6:30, there seems to be a real tension between the Black Lives Movement and the Black Church. This is one of the few movements in history where the Black Church is really not giving leadership to that particular movement. We were used to giving leadership in the Civil Rights Movement. The Civil Rights Movement grew out of the Black Church, but there seems to be a little difference with the Black Lives Movement. And so we're going to be talking about how the Black Lives Movement and the Black Church can support each other and not have so much tension about it.
And where do you think the tension originates? Is it in the style of the Black Lives Matters campaign? What do you all see as the origin of the tension?
I believe it's in the style. I believe because it's led by young people, and older persons or seniors like myself in the church don't often try to understand or relate to the younger generation. I call it the difference between those who want to pray and those who want to protest.
Mm-hmm.
And so there seems to be a divide. And I'm not sure what it is. I hope we'll get some answers tomorrow night. I don't want to move into it claiming that I have all the answers,
sure.
But I really pray that as we discuss it, that we'll at least scratch the surface of what is it about the Black Lives movement. I think both the Black Church and those who are leaders in the Black Lives Matter movement agree that Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we have to figure out how we can incorporate the message and work together. Black lives don't matter until Black people come together.
Well said. Yeah. And so very true. You know, one of the tenets of the Black church's involvement in social justice is peaceful protest. And Black Lives Matter is more of a confrontational approach from what we've seen recently, at least.
Yeah.
It seems to have
yeah.
accelerated its level of confrontation.
Yeah, and I think the Black Church has kind of incorporated the issue of being peaceful in the last few years. If you look at the films and the footage from the Civil Rights Movement, there's not a lot of peaceful that took place. There were dogs and water hoses, and it wasn't from our side, but it wasn't very peaceful. But I think even more correct, it was nonviolent.
Nonviolent.
And there's a difference between nonviolence and peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what our young people have discovered is that sometimes you have to be loud in order to get the attention of others. And for whatever criticism we have about the Black Lives Matter movement, there are things that have happened recently that would not have happened if peacefulness was the order of the day. I don't believe that flag would have come down in Charleston if the movement was just peaceful. So I don't think that we would have gotten justice or be on the road to getting justice with the young man that was killed in Baltimore, mm-hmm. if that
Freddie
movement
Gray.
Had been just peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Sacred Conversations.
Peaceful and nonviolent.
Sacred Conversations is in Georgia tomorrow. And where is your next stop?
Since we've posted Georgia, we're going to meet on Saturday to discuss where else to go. But we've gotten invitations. We've been invited to Louisville. We've been invited to Birmingham. And we're going to be talking about other issues concerning the church. One topic we're going to talk about is the prophetic versus prophet. And we're going to be talking about the role that money seems to play in the church and how it's an issue that either excites people.
Reverend Timothy Tyler. We're having some breakup there with the telephone. Reverend Timothy Tyler in Georgia tomorrow with his first installment of Sacred Conversations in his campaign for bishop in the AME Church. He is the senior pastor at Shorter AME in Denver, Colorado. Back in one moment with Big Dre. So if you need a laugh on a Thursday, getting you ready for a holiday weekend, so stay with us.
Boat is a piece of junk.
Yeah, but they don't make them like this anymore.
Gee, I wonder why.
What?
You know, we could have rented a nice boat or a party barge right here at the park.
Huh? Rent?
Yeah, and your tent is moldy, too.
Moldy? What are you, the boat and tent police?
We could have stayed in one of the park yurts. You know, big, roomy tent already set up right on the lake.
Hmm.
Yeah, DeGray Lake Resort State Park has lots of things for rent.
Instant campsite, eh?
Why not? Or we could have stayed at the park lodge, enjoyed the restaurant, the heated pool.
Do I do anything right?
Well, yeah, you married my sister.
Now I remember why I let you in my boat.
So the next time we and the girls get together here at DeGray Lake Resort, you let me make the plans?
Plan away.
Well, if we ever get back to shore, I will. Online at DeGray.com.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Okay, you guys, it's time to plan our vacation.
Okay, Mommy.
Okay.
This summer, we're gonna play in our own backyard.
We're staying home? No way.
In our yard? Really?
No, we're gonna play in Arkansas's backyard this summer. We're gonna visit our state parks.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, count me in. I'll have less driving to do and more time to fish and golf. Swim, relax.
Uh-huh. So come here. Gather around. We're going to plan our vacation together.
For real?
Awesome.
Here we go. ArkansasStateParks.com. Ta-da! There, we're at the Arkansas State Parks website.
Ooh, look, I want to go there.
I want to do that.
Me too.
Just look at all there is to do. You know, playing in our own backyard in our state parks this summer is a great idea. Less travel time and more time for fun.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
Making vacation memories.
Oh, you know, it is official almost. Labor Day tends to be the last hurrah for summer. So what are you doing for the Labor Day holiday? Joining us in studio is Big Dre, a comedian who already has plans, of course, for the Labor Day weekend. So what are you doing, Big Dre?
I'll make sure I eat a lot of food. have me a few refreshments, and I'll probably crack a few jokes along the way.
A few jokes along the way.
Along the way.
Any particular city where you're cracking these jokes?
I'm going to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
At the Tulsa Looney Bin.
At the, now, is that a state institution or?
It will be when I'm done, let me tell you. Depending on how many refreshments I have.
I hear you. How many times do you walk in the comedy club and the place is full of people and they're all looking at you like, okay, make me laugh,
every
dude.
Time. They making mean faces. Hope you're funny, big boy. Some folks say it. They actually say the word. You better be funny.
Oh, wow.
Been working at the plant all week. They finally got somebody to keep them kids. You better be funny for my $15.
That's a lot of pressure.
It is. It's fun, though. We have a good time.
You have a good time?
Every time.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Some crowds are rougher. Yeah. Some crowds are rough. When you're not in the comedy club, when you're in like a lounge or a bar, whoo.
You can hear them?
I can hear them. They will stand up and start screaming, but I like hecklers. They're fun.
What's fun about hecklers?
Because, you know, I do this for a living. I talk crazy for a living. So when somebody stands up, you know, they just want a little limelight for a minute. So I give it to them.
You don't mind sharing it?
I tell them you can either watch the show or you can be the show. I made one guy in Houston put his head down on the bar one day. He started talking, and I gave him about 10 minutes of my time.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. His girlfriend started laughing at him. See, I told you not to say
it. Yeah. You know, you never sit in the front row at a comedy club. Everybody knows that.
Well, you know, I go out of my way not to pick on anybody. That's why I don't, you know, to point out people, because I don't know what kind of day that guy had.
Well, that's very nice.
And I don't make enough money to have security.
Yes, but you've had a limo or two in your day.
I've had a couple in my day. It worked out, but... You know, I don't know what kind of day that guy had, and I'm talking about him and picking him on him. So I'm going to want him to come back and see me. If I talk too bad to him, I won't see him again. So I need every ticket bought I can.
I like that idea of having some sort of courtesy.
I do. Now, if you start making noise to me, then it's like you're asking for it. It's one guy told him, I'm going to take you on the road with me. You're so great.
He said that to you?
I told that
you
to
told
him.
You told him that? He was that good?
He was. No, he just gave me so many opportunities.
Oh, right.
I couldn't write the jokes that he posed.
Who is your favorite comic when you want to laugh?
Alive? That's a really good question. Right now, I'd probably say, you would think Kevin Hart, but he's close. Mm-hmm. But most of my favorites are not here. Bernie Mac.
Oh, wow. He was so funny.
Robin Harris is my all-time favorite.
Robin Harris was hilarious.
My all-time. And I don't ever say that he's the best. He's just my favorite.
He was so good.
Pattern I'm trying to.
Both of those comics, great comics, deceased, and they passed away at early age, you know, young ages.
Yeah. Robin Harris, we're about the same age, so I'm trying to hit the lick before I lead the kids to empire.
Lord willing, you have many, many, many more years. So what's on the menu for Labor Day? I'm having ribs, potato salad. Baked beans, the usual.
I might need to follow you. The comedy clubs, they just, you know, they give me plenty of wings. That's all they got. I got wings for you.
You can always get a chicken wing.
Always.
At a comedy club.
Get a chicken wing.
Yes, you can.
I'm a hamburger guy. I love burgers. I'm like Wimpy. I gladly pay you Tuesday.
That's like five or six burgers. Wimpy always had, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, one in each hand.
There it is. Well, I just said, I'm like Wimpy. That's my man. Well, you know, I'm a large guy, too, so it takes. That's how I will determine my next girlfriend, depending on how good she can make hamburgers and how tasty her Kool-Aid is.
Now, is that how she auditions? She shows up with a plate of burgers and a pitcher of Kool-Aid?
And if the Kool-Aid's not right, I'm going to miss you, baby. That's what I told her. I'm going to miss you, girl. Such a smart young
Which
lady.
Flavor? Grape, strawberry?
This is the truth. This is not a joke. It's black cherry.
Really?
I'm not joking.
No. You just wrote that right.
I did not.
Standing right there.
Black cherry is actually my favorite. Then strawberry, then grape.
Now, you know, you just opened up a whole can of worms with that black cherry business.
Ooh, yeah, I did.
But we're going to leave it right there because this is a gospel station.
I did, and that's why I said it. And people, when they think I'm playing when I say it till they see me drinking it. I'm like, I really like black cherry. Kool-Aid, I should say.
Well, now, you know, they say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
Ooh, would I say preach it?
Is that it?
That is it.
All right. Well, I'm going to wrap up the show right now and start working on some recipes.
There you go.
All right. Thank you, Big Dre. Have a great holiday.
You too.
We'll be right back. We're talking politics, and sitting is the new smoking, according to the medical experts. You're listening to The Village Celebration, and I'm Vicki Newton.
Your boat is a piece of junk.
Yeah, but they don't make them like this anymore.
Gee, I wonder why.
What?
You know, we could have rented a nice boat or a party barge right here at the park.
Huh? Rent?
Yeah, and your tent is moldy, too.
Moldy? What are you, the boat and tent police?
We could have stayed in one of the park yurts. You know, big, roomy tent already set up right on the lake.
Hmm.
Yeah, DeGray Lake Resort State Park has lots of things for rent.
Instant campsite, eh?
Why not? Or we could have stayed at the park. Park Lodge, enjoyed the restaurant, the heated pool.
Do I do anything right?
Well, yeah, you married my sister.
Now I remember why I let you in my boat.
So the next time we and the girls get together here at DeGray Lake Resort, you let me make the plans?
Plan away.
Well, if we ever get back to shore, I will. Online at DeGray.com.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
From the Ozark Mountains to Old Man River, Arkansas's 52 state parks belong to all of us to experience, to enjoy, to remember.
Our family stayed in the Mountain Lodge at Pettigean for the holiday, and no one had to cook. We ate in the lodge. Oh, the view over the canyon. Oh, and those huge fireplaces. Oh, the chocolate pies.
I remember going to the lodge on DeGray Lake. The park naturalist took us out on a boat, but we'd never seen an eagle in the wild before, and we saw five that day.
The cabin at Devil's Den when it snowed. We went hiking. It was so beautiful. And then we found that journal in the cabin, and we sat by the fire and read stories that the other guests had written. I'll never forget that.
The State Parks of Arkansas. Call 1-888-AT-PARKS for a free guidebook or visit ArkansasStateParks.com. Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration. Have you decided which candidate you will support for the presidential election in 2016? I know it's a little bit early. It's more than a year away, but when we start watching the political shows, the time will pass quickly. Right now, Hillary Clinton, of course, she is the hands-on favorite in the Democratic Party. And over in the Republican Party, oh my goodness, Donald Trump has been the front runner. Joining us now to give us some insider insight is Mundell Robinson, who is the president of the Conyers Institute of Public Policy. He's joining us tonight from New York, where he's working on a couple of campaigns. Mundell, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
So what do you think of Donald Trump? Let's just start there.
Well, I try and save my brain space for things that matter, and unfortunately Donald Trump is not one of those things, so I don't think about him a lot. But let's be honest, if Donald Trump was getting the same amount of media as, say, Kamala, he would probably be last in the polls. We got to admit that the media is focusing on Trump 10 times more than he's focusing on any other Republican candidate, and that's definitely playing into why he is the front runner. On top of that, I think we need to admit also that that it speaks to a group of Republicans that feel that this country is no longer for them or of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that Donald Trump speaks to that percentage. And that percentage looks large when it says 30%. But we're only talking about 30% of folks that vote in Republican primaries, which are, you know, basically Tea Party folk. So if you're only getting 30% of those people, you're really talking about less than 1% of the nation population that are attracted to Donald Trump's politics.
He certainly made some outrageous statements regarding Hispanic Americans, but like you say, it seems to appeal, his verbiage seems to appeal to people who don't feel that the country belongs to them anymore, whatever that means. Ben Carson, a Republican, African-American retired neurosurgeon, is surging quietly in the polls. He and Donald Trump are actually neck and neck, depending on the poll. How do you explain it?
You know, first of all, you know, if you think about, I think the poll that you're talking about, neck to neck, is the Des Moines Register and the Bloomberg poll out in Iowa. And Iowa is a caucus state, meaning that, you know, if your candidate is not the first choice, then you can caucus with another candidate. So it's only right that Ben Carson, who is very similar politically, or at least what Donald Trump is saying his politics are, they're very similar. So they actually, it's only right that people are leaning towards Ben Carson because, you know, in the caucus-style election, the person that goes negative never is anyone's second choice. So if you look, what's most important is if you look at second choice numbers. So Ben Carson has higher second choice numbers than any other Republican candidate, mm-hmm. which makes him more attractive than Donald Trump, really, in the Iowa caucus. So when you see stuff like that, you just know that people are starting to pay more attention and they're growing tired of Donald Trump's politics or his bombasticness. And if you also notice what's more important than Ben Carson being neck to neck with Donald Trump is how fast he's growing. I mean, this last poll showed him surge 13%, mm-hmm. where Donald Trump only grew about 4%. Mm-hmm. So that's a telling number. And also, August is a month where political campaigns usually see money fundraising efforts slump. Ben Carson raised a nice $6 million last month.
I was reading where he's raising money with small donations, $200 or less. And you know who that reminds us of?
Absolutely.
That approach took President Obama to the White House. You think the Republican Party Absolutely. Feels that it has found its Barack Obama in Ben Carson?
No, I think Republican Party has found them a person that can stand on stage and it gives them the cover to say what they want to. About minorities. Ben Carson has very dangerous politics. Let's not be fooled. He's very important for what he did medically, but his politics are extremely scary. He's anti-choice. He's against women's right to choose. He even referred to it as slavery. And when he tells his story of growing up in a single-parent household, he tells his story as if no one had anything to do with his success except for him. So it sounds very much like a grab yourself by the bootstraps, which that crowd loves. And then he also makes white people feel extremely comfortable or believe that our community thinks people that want to secede are Uncle Tom's a nerd. And, I mean, it was so bad that when Carson graduated, his classmates named him most likely to secede. And he, in turn, wrote in a statement that only meant that they were lazy, too lazy Ooh. And too trifling to do the same thing he did because they recognized what it took to secede.
Hmm. That's interesting. Let's shift gears and talk about the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton, former Secretary of State, former First Lady, former Senator from New York. This email business has really lingered. How will she get past it? And can she?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, this email, the only people talking about email issues, and this is not to belittle, you know, the public, but the only people talking about it is the media. I mean, you see Hillary Clinton at events, no one is posing questions about emails except for the media. This is not a story. It's been hashed. It's been rehashed. The Republicans have this great ability to make issues around election cycles. It hides the fact or protects them from the fact that their platform is very singular, and it does nothing for the middle class and also the working poor or the poor folk in this country. So this is another one of those issues. But when you dig into it and when everything comes out and you know, the fluff is gone off of it, we'll see that she used her personal email, but there was nothing that exposed the country to any harm. There was no secure emails passed back and forth on her personal email. It's not a story, and she'll weather it, and, you know, and she'll come out looking great, depending on what her campaign messaging strategy is about it.
Well, we do know that one thing she likes is that show, The Good Wife. That was revealed in one of those emails and Parks and Rec, and she needed skim milk for her tea. Yes, we did. We did right. learn. So, we I did mean, learn that much.
These are not issues of national import that we should be worried about. We're talking about real issues, or we should be talking about real issues. Unfortunately, we're not. We're focusing on emails that, you know, this is a non-story, and the only reason it works is because the Beltway wants to talk about it. And it shows the disconnect, not only with politicians, but also the fourth arm of government, which is media.
Well, you know, she has suffered a little bit in the polls from this email discussion. You know, people are saying they don't feel that she's that trustworthy, but that's a problem she's had for years. Even when she was first lady in the state of Arkansas, there were always questions about her trustworthiness. You're a political consultant. Right. And I what does a candidate do about it? How do you appear more worthy of being trusted?
Yeah. You're open. You have to. Her campaign is very insular. They need to be able to share information more. They should have jumped on top of this and called it what it was at the beginning, rather than just completely stand off of it. They could have shut this issue down by being upfront and shutting it down when it began. I saw Andrew Mitchell say something about to Bernie Sanders about Hillary Clinton, and Bernie Sanders shut it down immediately, better than the Hillary Clinton campaign has. Mm-hmm. So I think it's all about how you present yourself to the media, to the public, and I think our campaign does a horrible job of letting her be free as it pertains to shutting down that issue.
Mm-hmm. So maybe that's something they need to work
right now,
on.
I think so. And you know, but you're not going to get past. The Republicans have been extremely successful in making the Clintons seem untrustworthy. That's not going away. Not this campaign cycle or the next one. I mean, it's and when you think of the Clintons, the Republicans have been successful in making you think of something is being hidden from you.
One last question. Jeb Bush, what's happened to him?
Jeb Bush stuttered a lot. I mean, it, the way he came out. Plus, I don't really think he has, I don't see the spark in him to be president. It's almost as if his ability to raise money and his name had people automatically believing that he was supposed to be a presidential candidate. I don't see the hunt in his eye to be presidential or to run a presidential campaign. Mm. I do think that he has a wonderful strategy, and that strategy is just to sit Donald Trump out. And I think that strategy will be successful. Jeb Bush is not going to go away. His campaign knows that Donald Trump will not be around for the entirety of this campaign. And you know, when he's gone, some of the other candidates that were not as successful when it comes to fundraising won't be able to be around, and Jeb Bush will be able to suck up some of that space. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, he's not out yet. He has had some serious stutters, but that's just because he's trying to address the Donald Trump in the race.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a long time between now. It's a long time between now and November 2016. A lot can happen, as we know, in politics. So the next 12 months should be really interesting. Mondale Robinson from the Conyers Institute of Public Policy. Glad you could join us in the Village.
Thank you. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
It started with a phone call.
I got the text when I was at work.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard. This was it, the real deal.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires, how they were getting dangerously close to homes.
It was amazing to be a part of this massive operation. Helicopters were going up with huge buckets to drop water on the fires.
Some of the guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
We went out in Humvees to help with the evacuations.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com. Discover what it means to be a citizen soldier, to serve locally as well as globally. Look into the benefits, including career skills and money for college. Take a moment. Go to NationalGuard.com today.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
A storage tank ruptured, and for miles, chemicals were pushing up against the riverbanks.
This was a big, big deal, and it was going to have a serious impact on communities up and down the river.
I remember the moment. This local guy came up to me and said, "They call the Guard out for this stuff?" He probably thought we were all about hurricanes, tornadoes, fighting Mother Nature.
Hey, it's a chemical spill. It's a disaster.
It affects the water supply, threatens wildlife.
We're talking about the health of entire communities and people's livelihoods.
You bet we're ready for these kinds of things.
We were out there with booms to prevent the spill from expanding.
We
We're responsible for protecting and monitoring the sensitive wetlands.
I also remember the moment that same guy came up to me and said, I don't know what we would have done if they hadn't called the guard up.
Learn more about how you can protect your friends, families, neighbors, and the environment. Everything that makes up your community. Go to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration. I just want you to know I'm so glad you're with us tonight. This whole politics thing, we can't seem to shut down the conversation. Dr. Dye is joining us now, and we are going to get around to talking health in just a minute. But you know, this political conversation, Dr. Dye, wow, one of our favorite neurosurgeons is a Republican. Who knew, right?
Who knew, Vicki? And you know, interestingly enough, Dr. Carson spoke to one of my classes at medical school. Mm-hmm. I went to the University of Michigan, and he is, of course, from Detroit. So now when I listen to him talking, I am just utterly disappointed with some of his views on politics. So as I was telling you, I would much rather he have gone out as the great neurosurgeon than to hear his political views.
I think he had so many fans from all communities when he was this highly acclaimed, famous, world-renowned neurosurgeon. And my goodness, now we have to add this to his bio. Wow. Okay, let's talk health. You know, I read this study that says sitting is the new smoking. It grabbed my attention because I sit a lot. But I tell you what, that started me moving.
Well, I was trying to find some information on the article you were quoting, and I think they were kind of equating sitting for prolonged periods as probably being just as bad as smoking. And I think that the reason is, Vicki, is because of the inactivity. Mm-hmm. I mean, study after study has shown that if you are active, you could live a more prolonged, productive life because you're going to be more cardiovascularly fit, if that makes any sense to you.
It does. It does. It gets the heart moving, pumping.
Keeps the heart moving. And when you think of over time how we have become a nation of just really idle sitting. I mean, when we plow the fields or when we got out to build things, we were more outdoorsy than we ever are now. And with the technology advancing like it is, what we're doing is that we're becoming less active, and our children are becoming less active because they're more involved in computers and technology.
That's so true. Think about sitting and texting and, you know, working on the computer, and so much of our time is spent at work, and if you have an office job, then you're at your computer. How do you combat that?
You can probably do several things. You know, the first thing is that if you're at your computer, the article seemed to suggest that maybe you should change your work environment. Mm. Perhaps you can get someone to come in and make sure things are ergonomically correct and put your computer on a stand where you're actually standing and using it. And then that way you're keeping the blood flowing. Mm-hmm. You can move about from space to space. Different spaces, but putting it up where you can stand. Mm-hmm. And then perhaps if you're working at a computer, you designate some time and give yourself some breaks where you can at least take a 10-minute walk around your workplace just to keep the heart moving. I do know that, you know, a sedentary lifestyle does increase the risk of heart disease and different types of cancer like breast cancer and colon cancer. So, it was a great article.
So we really have to start moving. If we're not already moving, get moving, as the First Lady would say. The Fitbit, that's one of those devices that can count how many steps you take. What do you think of those? 10,000, I think, is kind of the magic number.
I love them, Vicki. I have a Fitbit. What I really like about it is that you can invite friends to join you in challenges. And so we all know that if you're going to be successful at any type of exercise, it's always better to kind of team up or to pair up and have someone do it with you. Well, we should be trying to take about 10,000 steps a day. That'll keep us in great cardiovascular health. And so you can invite your friends to a challenge. Say it's a daily challenge or maybe a weekly challenge. Who can get the most steps in a week?
Oh, I like it.
And so I love them. It's still technology. You know, you sync it with your smartphone, but you can be interactive with it. And it keeps up with not only your steps, but also with how many calories you burn, how many stairs you climb, what your heart rate is. So there, it's really, really good. It's a good investment.
I like the idea of the challenges, too, if you need a little extra motivation. Here's my problem, Dr. Dye. I may take 10,000 steps, but then I eat two slices of cake.
Well, you
that's
know,
not working for me.
I understand. I understand. And you can probably still eat some of that, but you just want to limit it because we all know that in order to be fit totally, you do have to watch your calories.
Mm-hmm.
And people can have what they want from time to time. Again, you just don't want to overindulge. So take the step and then look forward to that little bit of a treat. Instead of three times a week, maybe once a week.
Okay, once a week. Gosh, I don't know if I can do once a week, but, it, you know, it's a noble goal. Labor Day food, one that if you were going to strike it from the menu, what would that be?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure how many people cook out a lot on Labor Day. So I would probably say just limit the fried foods. If you're going to do your barbecuing, still do it. Just try not to char your food so much so that it's black. You don't want to burn it because that can kind of release some carcinogens. But I would say limit the fried foods and probably limit the amount of alcohol you take in. Drinking too much beer can also cause problems or disruptions in your metabolism, in your sleep, and we all know that lack of sleep can cause its own problems.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two.
You know, you
instead
really... You threw a pebble in a herd of sheep, and it hit Dr. Dre, Big Dre, in here when you said limit the alcoholic beverages. He said earlier he was having some refreshment, the euphemism he used. So he's heard you now, and so have the rest of us. Dr.
Dye. He can enjoy it, but just limit it.
Limit it. That's the word. Moderation. Good to talk with you, and as always, and have a great holiday.
Thank you.
A final word, so stay with us.
My daughter made me this cute bottle with a little water in it. Until I can quit smoking, I can stop flicking cigarette butts and put them in here when I drive. They're litter, plain and simple. This is my way to help keep Arkansas beautiful.
For every ton of paper we recycle, we save 17 trees. I really like trees. Recycling helps keep Arkansas beautiful.
A message from the station.
The Arkansas Broadcasters Association
and Keep Arkansas Beautiful.
My wife told me to get a hobby. My doctor told me to exercise. I listened to me. Grow flowers, vegetables, and in my own way, keeping Arkansas beautiful.
Fast food is great while it lasts, but its kind of litter can hang around forever. Personally, I'd rather see something natural. And all I have to do is use a trash can to keep Arkansas beautiful.
A message from the station.
The Arkansas Broadcasters Association
and Keep Arkansas Beautiful.
Hey, Glenn.
Well, you can tell that Chip over there is getting ready for the old family vacation.
Yeah.
He's pulling out the boat, airing the tents, checking gear, getting everything packed.
Yeah, we're about to head out on our vacation, too.
But you're sitting here drinking tea, surveying your domain from that lawn chair.
Yeah, buddy.
So, are you really about to leave on a vacation?
Yep, right here in Arkansas to enjoy our great state parks.
Why aren't you getting your gear together?
Because we rent it in the state parks. Instant vacation. No hassles before we go and none after we get back.
Rent?
Yep, the state parks have ski boats, party barges, fishing boats, kayaks, canoes. They even have RVs and tents already set up, plus the cabins and more.
RVs?
Just go to ArkansasStateParks.com. It's all there.
Instant vacation sounds like a perfect vacation.
Yeah, it will be if you mow my lawn while I'm gone.
Well, sure.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
We We are wrapping up another edition of the Village Celebration Radio Show. I've had a wonderful time. I hope you have too. Before we walk out the door or step away from the computer, Dr. Dre, Big Dre.
Yes, ma'am.
I keep calling you Dr. Dre.
I mean,
I've got Straight Outta Compton on my mind.
I'm going to be a rapper at some point. I can put a rhyme together. I just can't do it right now.
What did you think of the show?
It was an outstanding show. Outstanding. I learned a lot.
How would you summarize it?
I'm probably going to go home and beat my kids.
Get them ready for school? Is that what you're saying?
Prepare for school. Go to sleep now, everybody. Everybody going to be asleep by 6:30.
I'll make sure
they eat. Well, I feed them pretty good.
You feed them pretty good?
Oh, yeah, because if I'm eating, I share with everybody in the house.
They're not going to school with a crushed soda and a bag of Doritos.
Not happening. Those are mine. You get the apples. You eat up all the bananas. See that soda? Me.
That belongs to Daddy, huh? All right. Well, thank you for joining us. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I had a great time. I'd be more than happy to come back.
Well, you'll have
anytime.
To come back and talk with us in the village.
Oh, we're going to have a ball.
Have a wonderful Labor Day. Have a safe trip to Tulsa.
Thank you very much. I'm going to enjoy every minute. And I'm going to have refreshments in moderation.
In moderation. You heard it right here on the Village Celebration Radio Show, just as everyone else did. Have a great holiday. Be safe. God bless you. And we'll talk with you soon. I'm Vicki Newton.
It's time.